I want to thank Reverend Martin for the welcome here tonight to share with you what the Lord has done, even for me in my life. I have to say it is very strange looking down at an empty building with just a couple of people here looking after the sound, and yet knowing that there are many, many watching in via sermon audio on Facebook, and even those who will download after. It's our prayer that through the Lord, what the Lord has done for me in my life, that the Lord will challenge and encourage his own people. And for those that are as yet maybe not saved, that the Lord will even speak to you tonight and challenge you about your need of him. And even this very night, you may put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do, of course, want to say a word of thanks even to the media team here in Cumber. They have worked tirelessly all through this period when we cannot meet as a congregation. And without their effort and all of the hard work, and even in all the printing and the recording and the DVDs, we really appreciate all that they've done. And the Lord has really blessed even this ministry. The work here in our church has been blessed, and the Reverend Martin's ministry, even during this time of lockdown. And we give the Lord all the glory and all the thanks even for what he has done. I want to thank all those even that sent messages of to say they were praying for me tonight. We really appreciate their prayers and the messages that they've sent. We also want to thank those that even shared the link here for Facebook. It has been spread far and wide tonight, and we thank you for that. When the Reverend Martin asked me to give a word of testimony a few weeks ago, I said, yes, I'll do it. But you know, everyone has heard my testimony. And I give him the names of a few others within the church who are far more capable than what I am. But his reply was very simply, I haven't heard your testimony yet. And that was that. So here I am tonight, and I just thank the Lord for the privilege and the opportunity just to share with you, even through his word, what the Lord has done for me. I want you to turn in the scriptures tonight to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, even at home or wherever you are, I trust you'll take out God's word and turn to this psalm. It's a very well-known psalm. I'm sure many of you could even have learnt this psalm and could even say it, even without the word of God in front of you. Psalm 121 and the verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. We'll just have a wee word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help even tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for thy precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the promises of it. We thank you, Lord, that thou art our help tonight. Thou art our strength. And Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that thou wilt be my help and my strength. Lord, take away the nerves and the fears. And pray, Lord, thou wilt use thy word, even in the salvation of precious souls, and even to challenge and encourage even God's own people tonight. In our Savior's name we ask it. Amen. I was born in Newton Ards and was the youngest of three. I had two older sisters and lived on a farm. Both my parents were saved and loved the Lord and sought to teach us from a very early age that we were born in sin, that we were sinners in the eyes of a holy God and needed the Lord to save us, that it was only through Christ that we could have our sins forgiven. We were taken along to lots of different meetings each week. We belonged to the Presbyterian Church in Newton Ards, and my father was an elder there. And my father also ran the Craigantlet Mission Hall and the prayer union just a mile or so up the road and was very involved in the work there. So on a Sunday morning, we started off in Sunday school in our church and then stayed for the morning service and then sometimes a meeting in the afternoon and then up to the mission hall on a Sunday night and then even youth fellowship in the church afterwards. Sunday was a busy day in our house, and during the week, if there were any gospel meetings on locally, we would have been taken along and also to all our children's meetings. As I said, I knew of my need to be saved. I knew the rest of my family were saved, and I was not. I knew that if I died, that I would go to a lost eternity and hell. But you know, friends, that was as far as it went. I was brought up in a Christian home, knew I wasn't saved, knew all about God's salvation, knew the Word of God, knew my parents were saved, but that was as far as it went. Maybe there's young people listening to this broadcast tonight, and you're maybe in a similar situation. You're maybe sitting in meetings, I've been brought up in a Christian home. You know, I would encourage you not to take for granted your parents who love the Lord and read God's Word with you. It's a great blessing and a great privilege to have parents who love the Lord and bring you up in the things of God and even pray for you every day. Thank the Lord for even being brought up in a Christian home. One night at the age of 11, we were taken along to a tent mission in Bangor. You know, there that night, I don't know what the evangelist was preaching on, but I remember one thing that night. It was as if I was the only person in that tent. There were over 1,000 people there that night, but as the evangelist was preaching the gospel, that night my heart was touched. You know, I knew like never before that I was not saved. I knew that I was a sinner in the eyes of God. I knew that all my going to church could not save me. I knew that relying on my parents' salvation was not enough. God's word tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. One way and only one, through Christ and Christ alone. Through his finished work upon the cross of Calvary. I knew that night that I could do nothing to save myself. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a debt that he had paid for my sin. He took my place upon that cross of Calvary. He had shed his blood even for me. There in that tent that night, at the end of that meeting, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart to take away my sin and give me everlasting life. And praise the Lord, he did. You know, I've heard, especially even in the mission hall, many different people give their testimonies before and talk about the time they get saved and talk about how they felt, talk about what a change there was in their life at that time. You know something? I knew then. I knew then exactly what they were talking about. I knew what it was to have that wonderful feeling of knowing that my sins even were forgiven. To know I was saved for time and for eternity, and to have the Lord's presence even every single day. You know, that night when I got home, I ran down over the field to my granny's house and told her the good news that I had got saved. You know, she was so pleased to hear another one of her grandchildren had got saved. As I said at the start, I was brought up on a farm, and from as far back as I can remember, that's all I ever wanted to do was to work at home with my father on the farm. I did not enjoy school at all. I remember the first day of secondary school when we were taken into this big assembly hall. I remember staring all around this big hall and looking up at the walls. And sure enough, I caught these words out of my eye. And it said there, written in chalk, it said, if your birthday falls between July and August, you can leave school when you're 15. And I said to myself, well, that'll do me. That's exactly what I need to do. And in school, as I say to my shame, I didn't take my stand for the Lord as I should have. Yes, my close friends would have known that I was a Christian, but that's as far as it went. You know, to young people listening tonight, it's so important, whether at school or at college or work or wherever you are, that you take your stand for God right from the very start, from the first time you go into a class or a new place at college or a new place of work. You take your stand for God. Let those around you know that you're saved, and the Lord will bless you, and the Lord will encourage you even for doing that. You know, I got through the next 4 years, and at the age of 15, around April time, I left school without any O-levels or any qualifications and went home to work with my father on the farm. And you know, I was so happy, so pleased just to get left school and to get home to the farm where I wanted to be. As you would expect now, when I've tried to encourage our own children in the past to work hard at school and to do their exams and tell them the importance of getting qualifications, needless to say, they always remind me, sure, Dad, what are you talking about? Sure, you didn't do any exams, so I have to be very careful what I say and how I say it. But I was now at home, and I was happy doing what I loved. I thank the Lord at that time that I had good Christian friends, good, sound, saved Christian friends to run about with. I know some of them are even listening tonight. And it's so important for young people listening into this meeting that you have good Christian company. We went to many different meetings, to all the different youth rallies that were on in those days. You know, probably we weren't always going for the right reasons, sometimes just to see the talent and to see who was there or whatever, but still we were in God's house. We were amongst God's own people. And you know, that's the most important thing and the most important place that you could be. We were able to encourage one another in the things of God, and I thank the Lord tonight for those Christian friends. Oh, young people, I would really encourage you tonight to seek out the company of God's own people. It's so important. Don't seek your company in the world. If you do, you'll be drawn away from the Lord. Many say, oh, I'm strong. I know when I can say no. I can say no to going to those places. But you know, those places are not where a Christian should be. Before long, you will end up letting the Lord down and following even the wrong crowd. Oh, stick and seek out God's own people, even for your company, young people, tonight. I started attending Cumber Free Presbyterian Church not long after there and got involved in the church and the Sabbath school and the youth work. But yet in my life, there was still something missing. Yes, I was saved. I was involved. I was doing many different things and seeking to go on with the Lord. But still, there was something that wasn't right. I remember one night after one of the meetings, the Reverend Samuel Murray, who was a minister there at that time, spoke to me. And he said just very clearly, just right out of the blue, he said, you know, Colin, if the Lord calls you to go and work for him, you will have to go. And you'll have to leave the farm which you love so much, and you'll have to go and do the will of God. You know, I had prayed many, many times, Lord, your will be done in my life. But you know, I hadn't meant it. There were just words rolling off my tongue. My desire was to farm and to milk cows and do whatever it was, and that was all was even in my head. But you know, now I couldn't get those words out of my head. If God calls you, you will have to go and leave the farm. You know, I wrestled with this for 2 long weeks, day after day, night after night. The Lord kept bringing these words back to me. Remember one night I could go on no longer. I got down at the side of my bed. I remember that night praying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. If you want me to farm, I'll farm. But if you have something else for me to do, Lord, I'll go and I'll do it. You know, then, friends, I knew what it was to be filled with the presence of God, to know what it meant to be right in the center of God's will. You know, my will was surrendered to him. What a wonderful sense of his presence I had. Maybe tonight you're listening even to this meeting. You are as I was. You're doing your own thing. Yet you say daily, Lord, your will be done in my life, but you don't really mean it. Maybe God has a work for you to do, and you're busy doing what you want to do. It's not what God wants you to be doing. Surrender your all to him tonight. Pray that God's will be done in your life, and then you will know what it is to be in the center of the will of God. You know, the Lord didn't call me to go to the farthest corner of the globe and work for him, but he has a work for us all to do, whether it be in the mission field, in the ministry, on the farm, or even in the home. Wherever God has placed you, God has a work for us all to do. Read in the book of Proverbs 23 and the verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let the Lord have his way even in your life tonight. And bring you up to the time in September 1995. We had just finished the harvest that year, and it had been a good year, and we were read up quite early, so we were drying the grain and hauling it even into Thompson's Mill in Belfast. I remember that morning I had put a load in the trailer and got the cattle all fed, but all of a sudden I didn't feel well. I had a very sore head, something I have never had before, and it just seemed to get worse and worse. I thought I'll go and lie down for an hour or so, and then I'll be able to take this load even into Belfast. But you know, it got so bad that even the very light shining into the bedroom was making me worse. I have a very great fear of doctors, and especially needles. Now, not the ones that we put into the cattle, just the ones that the doctors and the nurses use. I have never been ill in my life, but it was so bad that morning that I asked my mother to ring the doctor and get him out. And she knew when I was asking for a doctor that I wasn't well. The doctor came out and sent me straight down to the Ulster Hospital. There he gave me medication to try and ease the pain, but it didn't make much difference. They sedated me, and then the next day moved me up to the Royal Victoria Hospital up to the neurosurgical ward. You know, it was a place where a lot of very seriously ill people, a lot of people with head injuries. They did several scans on my head and discovered that there was fluid built up between my brain and my skull. And it was this that was giving me all the pain. They decided they would have to operate to remove this fluid. And as I said at that time, and as I said even now, I'm not a good patient. And even have a great fear of needles and doctors, never mind what was facing me even then. But you know, I had a wonderful sense of the presence of God. I had no fear whatsoever of what lay ahead. You know, it wasn't that my faith was strong. It was at that time, it was God came and God gave me the grace and strength that I needed. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 tells us, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses." God gave me the grace and the strength at that time. In my weakness, His strength was there for me. God gave me the strength at the time, not before and not after. Right at the very point when I needed God's help and God's presence. I knew He was there to carry me through, even as I was wheeled down through the corridors to have this operation. I had no fear whatsoever. I was in the hands of the one read of in Psalm 121. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." My life was in the hands of the one who spoke this world into existence, who had created all things. I was in His care, His hands at that time. You know, the operation was done and the pain eased. And after a week or so, I was allowed even to go home. The doctor seemed to think that that was the problem sorted. I would be okay. I was at home for about a week or so after, and then on the Saturday evening, some friends came to see me. We sat and talked about different things, but then I could feel the pain in my head starting to come back. I excused myself and went up to bed and lay down. But during the night, the pain just got worse and worse, just as bad as it had been before. The hospital said to bring me straight back up, even to the same ward where I was again. They sedated me again to ease the pain, and they did more scans on the Monday. And on the Tuesday, they could see the problem. On the Tuesday, but they still couldn't see the problem. They tried again to drain off the fluid between my brain and my head, but it didn't ease the pain. It didn't make any difference at all. You know, that week, I could feel myself getting weaker and weaker each day, so much so that I couldn't even get out of bed. On the Wednesday, they did another scan. And this time it showed that there was a cyst on my brain and it was leaking. And it was the cause of the fluid building up in my head and the cause of all the pain. They decided that they would have to operate to remove this cyst. I remember the surgeon coming up to see me on the Wednesday night late on to talk about the operation. You know, he said, "Colin, this is a very serious operation that you will go through tomorrow. You know, where we are working at your brain, you could end up being paralyzed during this operation. Or even, you know, you may not make it through tomorrow morning. We do not know how it will go just because of where it is." I thanked him for coming up to speak with me, and he said he would see me even in the morning. A little while later, a nurse came round to get me to sign some forms for the operation. We got talking and she told me that she was saved. I said to her that night, "How do the unsaved go through operations where they do not know if they will wake up again or not?" She said, "You know, Colin, they just hope for the best. You know, we see them coming down into the operating table, into the operating theater, and how many come down with their fingers crossed. You know, I thank the Lord that night. I wasn't hoping for the best. You know, it wasn't that my faith was strong. It was God was giving me the grace again right at the time I needed. I remember praying that night, 'Lord, if it's your will to take me home in the morning, then that's fine.' But I also said, 'Lord, I have done nothing worthy of going home to heaven.' I simply said, 'Lord, your will be done.' You know, I believe at that time it was a lot harder for my family than even it was for me. I was just in the Lord's hands and He was carrying me through. You know, that night, it was the best night's sleep I had the whole time that I was there in hospital. I woke in the morning and was taken to the theater. Again, all the way there, I had the peace of God
and my heart. That's Psalm 121 and the verse 3 tells us, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth thee will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord was my keeper that morning. What had I to fear? The operation was done, and I woke up with a very, very sore head the next day. The doctors seemed happy that the operation had gone well and the cyst had now been removed. The next day, my head was still very sore, but the doctors were happy even with my progress. But you know, on the Saturday, infection started to set into my head, and my head started to swell up so much by the Sunday morning that one of my eyes was completely closed and the other barely open. At this stage, I was now very seriously ill because of the infection. I can remember the Reverend Samuel Murray coming up that morning to see me before church. I was lying there totally unable to respond. I knew myself that I was very, very low at this point. You know, the doctors told my family that my life was in the balance and the next few hours would just be critical. At that time, you know, I couldn't read the Word of God. I couldn't pray. But yet again, I knew the Lord's presence. I could feel His arms right around me. I knew that He was in total control and that He would see me through, whatever that would be, whether to get over the operation or whether even to go home to glory. You know, God always draws near to His people right at the time they need Him. He is always with us. He says in His Word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, that Sunday afternoon, there was a special prayer meeting even held here in our church in Cumber that day. And God's people prayed for me. And not just in our own church, but many other places, God's people were praying. And you know, God heard the prayers of His people. You know, He answered them. And just as quickly as that infection had set into my head, the infection started to ease. And the swelling went down. And even by the Tuesday morning, I was able to sit up in bed and even eat my breakfast. Even the doctors and the nurses couldn't believe how quickly I had recovered. You know, the Lord had really touched my head, and the Lord had taken that infection even away. And by the Wednesday, I was back home again. And you know, even by the weekend, I was able to climb onto a tractor and put some silage into the cattle, although I shouldn't have been doing it. But it just meant so much for me just to be able to get out and just to do one wee thing even again after being even so ill. I wasn't allowed to drive for 6 months, and I was to take 6 months off work. But you know, every day I was getting stronger and able to do small jobs. And long before the 6 months was up, I was back to normal again. I had to meet my surgeon after 6 months for a review. He told me that it was a full and a complete recovery. And he was discharging me and did not want to see me even again. You know, I have met several people, even in the shop, who have come in and had the very same thing that I had, the very same problem. But you know, they had never recovered. Two people, the exact same thing. And still they're going through operations after a period of time, all the time. Still they're in and out of hospital. You know, I believe it was just the healing hand of God upon my head and the prayers of God's people that brought me through the illness at that time. We give the Lord all the glory, even for what He did for me at that time. You know, as I said, I wasn't allowed to drive for 6 months. But you know, there was a young lady who had started coming to the church here in Cumber called Linda. And through the meetings and through hearing the Word of God, the Lord saved her. It wasn't long before Linda was involved even in the work of the church also. And after any of the meetings, Linda was always very quick to offer me a lift home. Anywhere I needed to go, Linda was ready to take me. And needless to say, it wasn't long until we were going out at the start of 1996. And by the November of the same year, we were married. I thank the Lord for Linda. The Lord has brought us together. We knew clearly that it was His will for us to be husband and wife. And to those who are at this stage in their lives, seek God's will for who you should marry. Let the Lord be your guide, not what you think. Let the Lord guide you and the Lord direct you. It's so important that you marry in the will of God. So important that young people, you marry someone who is saved. Remember the words about the unequal yoke. Seek someone who's saved and loves the Lord, and seek God's will, and God will direct you, and God will guide you, even in this matter. And since that time, the Lord has blessed us with 4 children, Isaac, Caleb, Faye, and Solomon. And we thank the Lord for each one of them and for saving them, most of all. You know, not long after we were married, we opened a shop, but that time we believed it was the will of God even for us to do this. But you know, even in our business, both on the farm and in the shop, we give the Lord all the glory and honor for all that he has done for us, even as a family. We've always sought to put 1 Samuel chapter 2 and the verse 30 into practice in our lives and in our business, where God says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." We of ourselves can do absolutely nothing. It's only with the Lord's help and his blessing we can do anything. There have been many difficulties, many trials, many problems, many times we have struggled even to see a way ahead. Yet the Lord has graciously carried us through. When we could go on no more, we can say the Lord has never failed us, never let us down, and praise the Lord, we know he never will. Even over the past number of weeks, when this lockdown started and we had to close our restaurant, the Lord has really blessed us. The Lord gave us promises from his word at that time. The Lord said he would put a shield around about us, and he has. He's kept ourselves and all of our staff safe and well, and enabled us even to get through the last 8 weeks. And again, we leave the Lord all the glory even for that. You know, the Reverend Martin came up with a title for this meeting tonight. The Reverend Martin's very good at coming up with titles. Just as a flash, he came up with 3 words: faith, farming, and food. Now, if I was to sit down and think about a title, I would get it, but it wouldn't be 3 words beginning with the same letter. It would take me about 2 hours to get the last word with the same letter, but he came up with it right away. But I want to add one more to this, and it's in keeping faithful. Faith, farming, food, and faithful. I want us to talk about a faithful God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, the verse 9, we read, "He is God, the faithful God." Think about that tonight. He is God, the faithful God. And I can say that he has been faithful to me and us as a family, and he will be faithful to you tonight if you are saved. You might say to me tonight, "Why did God allow you to go through all that pain and sickness and suffering?" You know, God has a reason and a purpose for all things that happen, even to his own people. And we have to pray that God will give us grace and strength to get through those things, and that God will show us the reason why all these things happen. God taught me a lot of lessons in those days, lessons that I will never forget. He taught me that time and life is very short. He taught me that we are but a breath away even from eternity. I remember when I was in that neurosurgical ward up in the Royal, there was a man who was in the bed just opposite me, and he had fallen and he had hit his head but was getting better and was soon to be released, and he was on the mend. I remember one Sunday afternoon, his daughter coming up to see him, and the two of them were sitting chatting away. And then all of a sudden, that man slumped down even in the bed, and the daughter was calling to him, to her daddy, to waken up. Very quickly, she called the nurses and the doctor. They came down and worked for him, probably what seemed like a short time. You know, they came out and closed the curtains. That man who was talking to his daughter a few minutes ago had now died and gone out even into eternity. That was a lesson the Lord showed me, how short life is. We're only a breath even away from eternity. Read in James chapter 4 and the verse 14, "Whereas we know what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes." We know not how. We know how the vapor can be on our windows for 1 minute, even in our house or in our car, and gone the next. And God says to you and I tonight that our lives are the very same. You know, I look back as I have given you my testimony tonight, over 50 years, and it has just gone like a flash. People say as you get older, the quicker time goes. You know, I think they're right. We are here 1 minute and gone the next. God does not guarantee us 70 or 80 years of life here upon earth. And even over the last few weeks that we have, in our own province, we have seen how so many, both young and old, have been taken out into God's eternity. Even in the past week, that mother and that young child taken up to heaven, even to be with the Lord. Just in an instant, we are only a breath away from eternity. Life is described And God's word is being very, very swift. You know, tonight I want to finish by leaving these four simple points with you that we've said already: faith, food, farming, and faithful. I want to talk about faith. Even as I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 11, you know, faith must come first in a man or woman or a boy or girl's heart. God's word says, without faith, is it impossible to please God? We need to have our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ first before we can seek to live our lives even for the Lord tonight. Tonight, can I ask you the question, where is your faith? What is your faith in even this very night? Maybe you have your faith in yourself. Maybe you say, I don't need anything else. I don't need anyone else. I've got myself. Somehow you feel that you can make your own way even through life. You can find favor with God somehow before you pass from this life even out into eternity. Is your faith in your good works? Is your faith in the fact that you have never done anyone any harm? In the fact that you're well thought of within the community? You're held in very, very high esteem. People look up to you. But you know, when you stand before God on that great judgment day, do you think that somehow your good deeds will outweigh your bad? God says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, that wee word, all have sinned, young and old, rich and poor, each and every one of us are born in sin. We've all sinned, even in the eyes of a holy God. God tells us in Titus chapter 3 and the verse 5, salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done. You know, you cannot work your way to heaven. Many today have their faith and their wealth and their possessions. They think that they'll be okay because they have plenty of money. They can buy their way out of trouble. You know, if you think of this virus, COVID-19, which we have here at present, you know, if you were to take that virus and if you had underlying health issues within yourself, you know, it wouldn't be good for you. It could even be the case that you would not survive. All the money in the world would not be able even to keep you alive. You could put your faith in others tonight. You could put your faith even in our prime minister, in our government, and still at some point they will let you down. We need our faith tonight in the one who never fails and never leaves us or never forsakes us. God says very clearly in his word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God says, I am the way. Think about that tonight. I am the way. How more simple, friends, do we need it tonight? One way and only one, through Christ and Christ alone. Unsaved friend tonight, you need to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has opened up a way for you to come to him tonight through what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. You know that well-known verse in John 3 and 16. I'm sure each and every one of you that are listening could quote that verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you, that he gave his life for you, that if you believe in him, he will save you. How simple the gospel is tonight, and yet so many even make it complicated. The gospel message that we have for you tonight is that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, that you might have your sins forgiven, that you might not perish in a lost eternity and have everlasting life with him in heaven. You know, the Reverend Martin has been preaching over the last few Sunday evenings, both on heaven and also on hell. And he has showed us very clearly from the Word of God the reality of both heaven and the reality of hell, and what both of these two places will be like for those who enter. And you can tune back. If you haven't heard these messages, I would encourage you to tune back and listen to most of these two very solemn messages again from God's Word. You know, but tonight, if you're watching or listening, you have a choice to make tonight. You cannot sit upon the fence. You know, you're either in one of two groups here tonight. You're either amongst those that are saved or else amongst those that are lost. those that have their faith in God, or else those that who do not. You might say, I know, I've heard this before. I have heard the gospel. I have people witnessing to me. I am considering it. You know, friends, it's not enough. You know, if you were not well tonight, and tomorrow you went to the doctor, and the doctor said you're not well, and if you don't start taking this medication, you're not going to make it. You would take those pills, and if you set those pills up in your mantelpiece, and if you said to yourself, those pills are great, you know, if I had those pills in me, I would get better in no time. You have to physically take those pills down. You have to physically open them up, or else you will never get better. You have to take them. But you know, so it is with faith. It's not enough to know the Word of God, although very commendable. You need to come personally. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. All you need to do is believe on Him. Believe in Him and what He has done for you by dying upon the cross of Calvary, by shedding His precious blood, even for your sin and for mine. You know, if you're not saved, come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Do not put this decision off to another day. God's Word says now is the accepted time. Think about that. Now is the accepted time. Come and call upon the Lord today. Now, the next point was food. We make lots of food even each day in the shop. And you know, we all need our daily bread. If we do not eat at proper times, it's not long before our body tells us we are hungry. We have to stop and eat, or else we'll get weak. If we do not eat for a period of time, even for a day or so, we would get sick, we would get weak, and unable to do absolutely anything. Read in Matthew chapter 4 and the verse 4. It tells us very simply there, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the Word of God. If we have our faith in God, we need to have spiritual food. And that is the precious, precious Word of God. Just as we can get physically hungry when we do not eat, we will get spiritually hungry if we not read, if we do not read and pray. It's so important, child of God, to get our spiritual food even each and every day. You know, to enable us to walk with God. You know how it is so easily. We can become cold of heart. Yes, we used to take those times each day to get alone with God, but now we could say, oh, I'm too busy. I've so much going on from early in the morning to late at night, and they're all genuine things that need to be done. I just don't have time anymore for the Lord. It's so quickly. Friend, your heart can get cold and even hard. God can seem so far away, but remember this, it's not God that's left us. It's us who have left Him. You know, if we are not able to serve the Lord in the way in which we should, we would not be able to take our stand for Him as we ought. God wants the first fruits of your time and mine. We need to set those times aside each day to get alone with God, to read and to pray over the Word of God, to get spiritual nourishment from His precious Word. We need to be in the house of God. You know, I know at present that is not possible, but we need to be tuned in on the Lord's Day for both services, and also on the Tuesday night for the prayer meeting. And for those who cannot even listen on the internet, they have that option of the CDs and the DVDs, and we know that many even use that ministry to listen to. Maybe tonight you're like one of these people. You've gone spiritually cold and hungry. We thank the Lord tonight that you can come back to Him. I would encourage you and urge you to seek His face afresh. Seek the Lord and get in, grow into a grace and into a deeper knowledge of the Lord. Through what? Through His Word. Through that spiritual food, even in the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Meditate upon it. And so when someone asks you a question, so when someone says to you, what does the Bible say on this, or what does the Bible say on that, we might be able to try even to give an answer. You know, I also said that one of the points was farming. As I said in my testimony, that was what I loved doing the most. And those that know me well know that I just love to get out of the shop and onto the farm for a few hours if I can to get my head shored. You know, God in His Word has used a lot of examples in farming. The sower sowing the seed, the lost sheep, and even the wheat and the tares. I know the farmers here in this church have got a hard time of late when the Reverend Martin has came, for he's not used to farmers, and we're trying to teach him about farming, and it's not easy, but we're getting there. There's a wee bit of progress And we're just going to have to get him aside someday and get him out and show down in Cumber here and in this area. There's a lot of farmers in the church here, and we're going to educate him one way or the other. But you know, the Lord has given us a lot of examples, even of farming, in the Word of God, to name but a few. You know, to God's own people tonight. You know, the farmer plows the land, and he cultivates it, and he sows it, and then he rolls the crop. You're getting a wee education here tonight already. He rolls the crop, and then he fertilizes the crop, and then he sprays it. But you know, that's the farmer's limit. He can do no more. All the long hours are done. You know something? Then it's over to the Lord. It's the Lord that sends the rain to dampen the soil for the seed to germinate. It's the Lord that sends the warmth to make the crops grow and the sunshine even to ripen the grain. You know, all what I want to say is that God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 7. But God giveth the increase. You know, as to God's children, we have a work to do for the Lord. We have to seek to win those around us, those in our family, those that we work with, those that we in contact with, those of our family and friends. We have to seek to win them for the Lord by our witness and by our lives. But you know, then we must leave it with the Lord. We must continually pray for them and let the Lord even give the increase. Even for those who are unwell, we are to daily bring them before the Lord. Pray that God will answer our prayers in His time, and that God will restore them back to full health and strength. Just as a farmer works long and hard and long hours, so must we work for the Lord. You know, we can put so much time and effort into our homes and into our jobs and even into our business. You know, I'm speaking to myself even when I say that tonight. You know, if we were to put the very same effort into working for the Lord, you know, I believe we would see so much more fruit. You know, in the work of God, in our churches, we nearly need to pray that the Lord will give the increase even to His work. We would see many souls saved. We long to see that, many souls being saved, and to see God's people even built up in their faith. You know, to finish this point in farming, you know, I love to be out very early in the morning, especially now that it's just breaking daylight around 5 a.m. And you know, when you look out across the countryside and you see all the fields and the birds singing and the cattle grazing, you know, I am reminded of that verse in Psalm 50 and the verse 10. And it tells us there, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Everything that we have is the Lord's. All that we are doing is just taking care of what He has given to us. Sometimes even we as the Lord's people, we can say to ourselves, we're doing well. You know, we have a nice house, a nice car, everything's good. Friends, all that you have and all that I have is what the Lord has given to us to take care of for Him. It's through God giving us a job. It's through God giving us the health and strength. That it's through these things that God gives us even the increase, even for each and every day. And the last point just to finish off with, and as I said earlier, we have a faithful God, and God has been very faithful even unto me. Psalm 121 verse 5 tells us, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That's the faithful God that we worship tonight. Especially in these times of lockdown in which we are living. Especially when this virus has taken even so many lives and so many people have been sick and unwell. You know, it's so easy for even God's own people to get discouraged. Even for the child of God to be afraid of the future and even what lies ahead. Very easy to lose sight even of God in these times. What do we need to do? We need to look back in the Word of God. Look back at how faithful God was to His own people. Think of Noah, how God preserved Noah in that ark, and how the whole world was destroyed, and yet Noah and his family were kept safe. They were preserved there in that ark. Think of Abraham and Sarah, how that God blessed them in old age with Isaac, how that God brought a great nation out of this man through many difficulties, many troubles. The Lord brought him through them all. Think of Joseph, how that God kept His hand upon him through all the trials in of his life. And one day, Even the Lord made him prime minister over all the land of Egypt. Think of Daniel and how the Lord preserved his life. Time doesn't permit to go on and talk about so many that the Lord has been faithful to. But you know, our God is faithful, and he will take care of his own people. In that psalm tonight we read, the Lord will preserve our going out from this time forth, even forevermore. Child of God, what have we to fear tonight? What have we to fear tonight when we think of those words? Our God is sovereign. Think about that. Our God is sovereign. He has control of all things. God will do his will, even regarding the situation in our land at present. God is in control. Oh, friends, remember that tonight. God wants his children to simply trust in him. Just as a father goes into the child when it's afraid and tells that child that he's there, he's nothing to fear, don't worry, don't panic. And that child lays its head back down on the pillow and goes to sleep knowing all is well. So it is with our Heavenly Father. He knows and he will take care of us. Why? Because God's word says he is faithful. Even for those who are not well tonight, those who are maybe facing surgery or treatment or whatever, trust in the Lord. He is well able to put even his healing hand upon you and to restore you even to full health and strength. For those who have loved ones and are not saved, oh, I encourage you, pray on for them. Our God is faithful, and he will save them in his own time. I pray tonight that even through these feeble words, that the Lord will speak to each one and challenge those who are not saved to their need of Christ, and even encourage the people of God tonight. Amen.